you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 19. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. God, where would we be without it? So help us understand that we might be able to enjoy and exercise truth, God, the reality in which you have made possible for us to find ourselves in, the wonderful reality of your person, of today, and even into the future, to be able to move and have our being in your awesome person. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we sit here, we are reminded, if you would be, that of all the people that lived yesterday, 500 years ago, to make it easy, are you thinking of any of them? 500 years ago, all the people that lived on earth, and they're all gone. All gone. And you and I are in the place where we are to be honoring God's wonderful word and truth. So God, what about it? Where you tell us very plainly and over again in your word that all flesh is as grass, as the flower of the field. It flourisheth and it is all gone. That's how you see humanity, apart from your saving grace. Because we're here today, gone tomorrow. We bring nothing in. It is for certain we take nothing out. And here we are. And this is it. There has to be more than this. Here we are to breathe, and then we die. God, you didn't create us for this kind of thinking. You created us to be able to honor you and know you. Therefore, all the lengthy time God spends, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, on his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what we've been looking at. And so here is, as we've been looking, and in chapter 19 and 28, 29, and 30, God has finished his 6 hours on the cross. The 3 hours in darkness have ended, and he is finished. He paid the price. He took our sin in his own body on the tree, and during those 3 hours, he bore an awesome separation. He experienced an awesome separation from God. My God, his first word. Not his first word. My God, why hast thou forsaken me in those dark hours at the beginning of noontime? And he did that. He finished it. He paid the price for every thought, word, and deed. He drank the whole cup all the way of our sin. He didn't leave one thought, word, any smallest, biggest. There's nothing he didn't take care of all of that which did not conform, does not conform to his righteousness, he paid for, so that every thought, word, and deed in our little head and heart, all of that he paid for on Calvary's cross. Before we were ever born, he did that. Before the foundation of the world, Christ the Lamb of God slain. Now, having said that, and his burial and his feast finished, and we what are you doing, God, as you're giving us all this? You're doing according to the scriptures. God has given his word, Genesis to Revelation, and all of it is written, and he tells us in John 5:39 and that the scriptures are all about him. And if you want to know about life, you have to know him. And all the scriptures are going to reveal his wonderful person. So therefore, as we've been doing this, we found all of the references from Genesis 3:15 all the way down to the cross of the scriptures. And through all of these centuries, God has been saying to by way of his word to the people that would be listening, the Jews, etc. He's telling them the Savior is coming. There'll be no question of who he is and what he does and why he does it. No question. And you got all the pages of history to confirm it. Oh, what do we know about the scriptures? We know 1 Corinthians 15, what is the gospel? The gospel, the good news, 1 Corinthians 1, 15, 1 through 4. He was buried according to the scripture. He died according to the scripture, I should say. He was buried according to the scripture. He has risen again according to the scripture on the third day. All of it is done and confirmed. The only Bible, God, your word, the only book in all of forever, in all of planet Earth. So we have no problem. If we want to know you, you've given us your word. Your word through all of the centuries has been confirmed. So there's no question that we ought to understand who you are and what you did on Calvary's cross. And there should be no question of what and why you did it, so that we know. We just plain know. There is no other person like you, the resurrected, our Lord Jesus Christ. No one like you, and ever. And there's no one that can do, say, and be like you. So if we're looking for you, God, and you say you tell us you're the only one, history has confirmed you're the only one. Whatever happened to Zeus? Whatever happened to a Mercury? Where'd they go? Where'd all these gods go? Well, you got them in the big volumes, big thick volumes on angels and idols and idolatry and world history. And you read the stories of Mercury and all of them. And when you're all done, they're all gone. They're all gone. Only one God and only one Savior, and that's you. Now, and you've done that with the scriptures. Now, having finished, what are they going to do? And verse chapter 30, 19, 31. Now, here's the three hanging on the cross, one on each side of our Lord, being crucified. And in the process, it is the day before Passover is celebrated. And therefore, 3 o'clock, Christ died. Passover, he died, the lamb was slain. But the lambs are going to be slain the next day, all of them. It's a celebration. It's an awesome celebration. It's the Passover, the preparation, the Passover day. And it's a holy day, no work. And not only that, the next day is the beginning of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and that's the 7 days, and the first day of it is a holy day. And then to boot, we got a holy day, no work. First day of the Unleavened Bread, no work. And we go to the third day, which is the Sabbath. No work. 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And that's why we celebrate Good Friday on Good Wednesday. That's why we do it. He didn't die. There's no way to die on Friday. It just doesn't come out. It's just tradition. It's just tradition. And the anyway, yeah, I don't want to do that now. Now, having said that, so here we are looking, and here's they can't have him. You can't ruin our holiday and have three dead bodies hanging on that tree, on those crosses, when we're coming and going with all the people. You just can't do that. So the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the leaders needed to get rid of those bodies. They crucified him. They're the ones that condemned him. And the Jews and Gentiles, by six trials, were found guilty before God. And so now here we are going, and the Jews can have this disruption of their holy days. So they went to Pilate, and in verse 31, and the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day before for getting ready for the Passover, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the Jews are talking to Pilate. They want the bodies removed, all three of them. They can't have any bodies there hanging up. And they're claiming their Jewish background, Bible, and Pilate is going to yield to that. And in adding to that, crucifixion is an awful, awesome way to die. And you can last many days. And so normally, that's what they do. And in the process, the Jews suggested that the Pilate go have him killed right off. You can't have him linger till tomorrow. So go kill all three of them by breaking their legs. You break their legs, the hanging, the breathing, the whole system flunks down. And they die. Break their legs. That was the thing we did. Who suggested breaking the legs? The Jews did. We got to break their legs, kill them, and then bury them. That's what they wanted. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, the scriptures, backing up the whole point, according to the scriptures, he was crucified. According to the scriptures, he was buried. According to the scriptures, he rose again. So that you can read it, turn page after page of God's word, and what can you know? You can know, am I trusting God? Am I truly resting in your finished work based on your word to confirm my relationship to you? I need God. So it's according to the scriptures. He was buried. Now, over, if I would, Deuteronomy and chapter 21. And we're looking way back into history, because history tells you everything that's happened that you're reading in Luke, John chapter 19. So you don't have to guess. Is this the one? Deuteronomy chapter 21, picking up if I can, in verse 22. And if a man, 21:22, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him upon a tree. The body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled. In other words, remove the dead body from the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So what do they have to do? So the Jews are asking Pilate to honor their Jewishness. And in the process, they're going to break the legs of all three of them. That's what they're going to do. Over to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 12. And in Exodus 12, what else do we know? Exodus 12 and in verse 46. Verse 46, in light of the context. In one house shall, for the Passover, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh for abroad. In other words, you're all done. You eat it one, you're all finished, one meal. Out of thy house. In other words, finish it. You're going to go and leave out the door to the Exodus. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Don't break a bone of that lamb slain. You're going to eat it. Break a bone. And over to Numbers. In Numbers chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 14. Number 9, verse 12. You'll catch it. And number 9, verse 12, Numbers. They shall leave none of it for the Passover lamb, celebrating. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. In other words, don't break any bone. So therefore, God, what do we know? They know, they Jews are going to break their leg, but you can't break his leg. You can't break his leg. Hang on to that. And to hasten death. So here's the Jews. Over, if I can, chapter 19. And in John chapter 19, picking up, please. And verse 32. Now, they're going to break the legs. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are going to give information as we shared the four windows to look at the cross, to see it from four windows. So they're going to add, Pilate, the Jews wanted Pilate to bury them right off, and the Jews suggested breaking their legs and killing them. Pilate, they're talking to them in back where the judgment hall. And so Pilate sends one of his centurion thing back over there to where the crosses are to see. They wanted to bury them, but you can't bury them if they aren't dead. And the centurion was given instructions to break their legs. So, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, the second one, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. He was already dead. Why do we know that? Verse 28, verse 29, verse 30. What did we read? What did we find out? When Christ finished the 3 hours, he said, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. He gave up the ghost and died. He died right then. He didn't die. He took himself. He caused himself to die. He said, I'm finished. The work of paying the price for our sin, he finished it. He's finished. Body is left dead. Body's left dead. That's what they're. So here comes the soldier to break the legs. And Jesus is already dead. Now, so having said that, and we've got the coming, and they can't break the legs in the process. And they're going to go, and what else? Well, what's going to happen then? What doesn't happen, but it's going to happen. In verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Not a thing can be broken. You can't, we read it in the Lord's communion. Nothing's broken. Can't be broken. Perfect. Nothing broken. And when they, verse 34, and one of the soldiers with a pointed spear, pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, why are you going to pierce his side? Now you ask the question, why is anyone going to do that? You can't break his leg. You didn't break his leg. No. What you did do, though, and the soldier, I'm sure, had no idea. Whatever his motive or whatever, he took his spear and he shoved it up into the body, into the side, and pierced the pericardium, went up in there, into the heart, and the water, the pericardium, the liquid, and the blood. Not just blood, but the liquid and the blood. Water in the blood came out. Why would he do that? Because God said he would do it. See? God's confirming impossible things. God says, no, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to make it so you'll have no question. Over to Zechariah, as you would guess. Zechariah in chapter 12. And in Zechariah chapter 12, picking up if I can, you'll catch it, chapter 12, and here's way back 500 BC, way back here. And our Lord is going to be crucified and everything, and the end. Remember the Zechariah chapter 12, picking up in verse 10. I will pour upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace. This is the tribulation, and of supplication, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. The spear did not kill him. He was already dead. It was a wound that he would never feel. He would never feel it. He's dead. So you could jab him all you want. Now, but in verse 12 and 10, and Jerusalem, and the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon him. Look upon me, said God, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Pierced. Why? No one pierces. Ah, they will. So you'll have no question. No question. Our Lord, do it again. Over to, if I can. Over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 20. And you remember, here's Thomas. And sliding down, if I can, in verse 25, And if the Lord comes, and we're going through John, we should hit chapter 20 sometime. We're almost finished with 19. We should hit 20. But if we don't hit 20 and the Lord takes us, you'll be ahead of the game because we're going to read chapter 20 and in verse 25. And the other disciples, 20:25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe, said Thomas. So there they are. Thomas said, pierced. You guys all saw him on the first Sunday night, the second Sunday night. He comes to service. He has the service. And verse 27. And then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless and believing. I want you to go to take your hand, Thomas. And he moves his robe, and you want to put your hand into my side, into that hole? The hole's still there. You want to put your hand into that hole? Do it. Be believing. Don't be doubting. Let it be proof to you. Thus, when he comes, chapter 1, Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. And you'd recall in verse 7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. They're going to see him. They pierced him. No one pierces him. They're going to pierce him. He's mocked. He's a mocked man. He is the man that is going to judge the whole world. He's the man. The man, Christ Jesus. Now, having said that, so here's the burial. Here's the piercing. No bones are broken. And what else? Over to Revelation. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 53. If I said that right. Isaiah chapter 53. And picking up, if I may. In Isaiah 53, picking up if I can, sliding over, here's the wonderful 53rd chapter, all about the death of Christ on Calvary's cross. Now, so when we come to chapter 53 about his death, interestingly, in the light of the cross, in particular, what we're doing, sliding it down to verse 9. And he made God... He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Thirdly, what does he do? In his grave, where are they going to put him? His body, where are they going to put his body? Ordinarily, the three would go down and the bodies would all be put down in the bottom of the Jerusalem there, where they put the bodies and stuff. And in the process, they get rid of the bodies in a very non-involved way. Ah, but God, not him. He's pierced. He's special. I'm going to give you another thing, God said. I want you to know, he doesn't go with the others. I have a special burial place for him. It isn't just any place. I'm going to have him buried in a rich man's tomb. That's what I want to do. He isn't rich. He's nobody. Why would you put him in a rich man's tomb? He isn't related to the billionaires of the day, as it were. He isn't. No, he isn't. But he's going to be in a rich man's tomb. That's where he's going to be. And, well, you hear in chapter 53:9, 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Christ, remember, the cross didn't kill Christ. He didn't die from the cross. He died because the Father judged him. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The cross didn't kill him, it just carried him. Enabled to pay the price for our sin. And in the process, when he was finished, John 19, 20, 30, it's unfinished. He left, finished. He's dead. All finished. Wow. He did that in a most wonderful way. God did it. I'll read it again, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Father to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God's going to be pleased to kill him. He's killing. He's paying the penalty. Remember what it's all about. Before anything's ever created, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost agreed that they would create a human, and the human would be our Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Lamb slain, would go to the cross. That's the centerpiece, as we've been saying, looking, studying. It's the centerpiece of when earth is all, when God's finished with earth, a new heavens and a new earth. It's all about the result of Christ's death on the cross. He's going to be the Lamb over the great Jerusalem and the new heavens and a new earth. The Lamb, the center. God is, you can't see God, can't smell God, can't touch God. No, he's awesomely different. He's God, and everything is in the middle of God. But God makes himself wonderfully visible, as it were, in the person of Jesus Christ forever. And you're able to see a risen Christ with nail-pierced hands, as it were, pierced side, I should say. You're going to see it forever. He is the Lamb that made all of this. God is going to glorify himself by sending himself to the cross. He's going to go and be the sacrifice. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to be the perfect substitute. He's going to do it for us. God himself is going to do it. And he gets all the glory. Salvation isn't my plan or your plan. It's God's plan. It's his doing in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over if I can to Matthew and chapter 27. And in Matthew chapter 27, picking up, if I may, and may I go, you'll catch it, in 27. Now, the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, he's a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a very devout man. And he comes and asks Pilate for the body. And that's why Pilate, among other things, makes sure he's dead. The centurion comes back. We broke the two legs of the two. The other one in the middle, Christ, was dead. We pierced his side. He's dead. And so Pilate, Joseph of Arimathea, wants the body. He's a rich man. And well, let me keep reading. Chapter 27, verse 57. And when evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. In other words, that you can have the body. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, his new tomb, which he had hewn out. It took time to take a big rock and hollow it out, and the rock, and he rolled the big great stone into the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. Now there's a little more information about things. What do we know? It's there, and without taking time to go there, here's Mark and that, and here's the crucifixion right here, as it were, and not very far away, crucifixion. And if you took a little walk over here, up there is the temple and that, took a little walk over here, is a garden, a little garden. And the ladies would like it, a nice little garden with every flowers and everything. And it was his garden. It was his. And he had a rock, and he was prepared for his death and wanted to be buried there. So they hollowed out the hollowed rock. What's he going to do? He's going to take the body. He and Nicodemus are going to wrap the body. They can't do a lot because they got 3 holy days before they can go buy anything and do anything. So you have to wait till Saturday at 6:00 at night. That begins Sunday. That's the first day of the week, Jewish time. So any time after 6:00 on Saturday, he could have risen. The tomb was empty. So they're going to come. Remember, the ladies are going to come with the spices to prepare the body for long lasting. But the tomb was empty. Ah, yes. See. So here we are going, and he puts them in a rich man's tomb, and that's what he did. In a most wonderful, wonderful way to put him in that tomb and do what he did. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so, God, here we're looking. Now, so put it together. Over I can, John chapter 19. John 19. God's confirming everything. No question. It's according to the scriptures. Everything's according to the scriptures. So we don't have to guess about anything. What are you trying to make very clear to us, God? You're trying to make very clear. Well, let me pick it up in chapter 19. And if I can, in verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and 100 pound weight. Then, in other words, we do some preliminary. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews as it is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, and there was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day. In other words, you can't go too far, because it's going to be 6:00. We've only got 3, here's the dais of 3. You've only got 3 hours to get the body and do everything. So you do the quickest possible way, Pilate, get the body delivered and bring the body over, do the wrapping and get it in before 6 o'clock. Now, so here we are, verse 42 again. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand, right nearby. Now, point. God, what are you making clear? You're making clear that you took our place in the cross. I did. I paid the penalty for your sin. I did. 1,000,000%, covering every word, thought, and deed, as we shared. God, you did that. I did. Now, you paid the penalty for our sin. Here we are, and we owe. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for us, you and me. Christ died for us. He did that. Now what else? He died. Now, and just so that is no question about it, he's going to go and he's dead. The spear into his heart, the blood piercing the heart. He's dead. What do we want known? Do you understand? The wages of sin is death. Death, spiritual death, the absence of life. Physical death lasts forever. The absence of life, physical life, the absence of relationship to God, spiritual life is missing, and you're going to be dead spiritually. We're born dead in sins. That's how we are born. No. What are you saying, God? I want you to know I went to the cross and they pierced me and they counted me as dead and they put me in a tomb for the dead. So there's no question. So when I tell you, do you understand what I did for you? I died. I took your death on the cross. I did it. Really? Dead. There's no question. Dead. No question at all. We aren't even messing with it. That's what I need to understand. I'm not dead. But he died for my, he took me, the wages of sin is death. He paid the penalty for my sin. And he did that. And he buried it. He put it in a tomb. Now, the average, when you go to the cemetery, go over the down the street here to the right, a little cemetery. And here are the rocks. Here are the rocks. And there they are. Now what, and the people are pretty old, they're there. The bodies are there. Are they dead? If you read the stone, if you read it, born so-and-so, died so-and-so, would you assume that that person who was born and died is dead? What would be the debate about being dead? What we need is a big council meeting in Washington to figure it out. They're dead. In the tomb, the stone, dead. So we aren't playing with it. Reckon yourself dead indeed, what? Under sin. But I'm not dead. You better understand, I made it so that you're dead. Otherwise, you're still trying to make it live. You're trying to make everything work, rework it. I don't want to rework it. I crucified it. It's dead, done. Go with me, please, over to Romans. Romans chapter 6. God's trying to made it clear so that we sit there and we read these verses and we read things and think about death. We got to understand, it did. There's no messing around. No messing around. Wow. So here. In the process, Romans. And in chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, picking up, please. In verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Christ died. It's finished. What do you think finished means? We bury it, put it in the ground. You don't go digging. If you had to bury something, had to bury a dog or a cat or something, whatever you have to do. I had years ago, it's a lousy burial, but I don't bury a lot of things. In the process, we had a turkey that just didn't work out, didn't come out good. Somehow it spoiled, and we had to bury it. A big turkey, you know, turkey. And so I didn't want to throw it in the garbage, so I went out in the back and dug a hole. I dug a hole, a big hole in the ground, and put the turkey down in there. And then I covered it up, and I said, be good fertilizer, you know, because that did that. And I thought that was nice. The next day, I went, and it was uncovered. And then I covered it again, and the next day it was uncovered again. The animals must have said, it's Thanksgiving. And they went and looked for it. That's what they did. They looked for it. We don't keep digging it up. The stone, beginning and end, stop. Don't go any further. That's what God wants. Reckon yourself dead indeed into sin. Well, let me keep reading. You'll see it. It's there, all over the place. That's why he died, according to the scriptures. He's buried according to the scriptures. So there's no question. So we don't have to play with this thing and play all over the place with our little minds, your big minds. Now, in the process, Romans 6, verse 3, know you not that a man, as many of us as were baptized into a Jesus' death, Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, buried, baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For reason, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Sliding down, if I can. Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, wonderfully, you quote it, you know it, I hope, believers. Likewise, reckon, calculate, compute, figure it, honor, just count it up and get the score card right. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourself dead. That's what you do. How can I do so? He was buried and put behind that stone. He's dead. The body is dead. I got it. I have to sit there and feel it or analyze it or some way, debate it. There's nothing to debate. The body's dead, buried. That's what it is. God, you want us to understand that? Absolutely. I paid the penalty and I pardoned you when I died on the cross. But a pardon's no good, and if you don't take the pardon, and if I don't rise again, it won't do any good that I pardoned you. You've been pardoned. I'm in jail. I get pardoned. I go out and I stand there. What do I need? I need life. I'm pardoned, but I don't have any life. That's why he had to rise again for life. But you have to understand, you're dead. The penalty's paid. The pardon has been executed and signed in blood. And the next thing, I'm going to rise again. In closing, over if I can, to Colossians. All kinds of ways to do it. I'm sorry. I hope you got a little bit to understand. It isn't a whole lot. Christ died, buried in the scriptures. Boy, you better understand why he did that. Man, that's sobering. Oh, I don't, it isn't personal. That's the trouble. It isn't personal to you. That's my death. My death. My death. That's why I get sidetracked. What? Where is your fear of death when you get saved? God did something with your fear of death, didn't he, when you got saved? He said, don't worry about everyone else. All they can do, the most they can do is kill your body. I can kill your soul. Don't fear death. The devil, death is the king of fears and all the phobias. You're free. Dead. You're free from all whatever phobia, whatever fear, you're free. Do you understand? Because I'm dead. And the most that can happen is my physical body will be put in the ground, maybe. Now, Colossians, in closing, thank you for your patience. I hope you got a little bit. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 12. Buried, Colossians 2:12. Buried with him by baptism, wherein also you were risen. You are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, God's doing, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, dead. Absolutely. I died. Christ died. He took me dead. So I don't have to feel it or think about it. It's just dead. So I don't have to trust it. It's dead. I leave it in the ground. I don't keep digging the body up. I don't keep digging the thing up to see what's going on. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Forgiven you all. What do you think all means? I don't know. All. What happens if he forgave? If it said, and he forgave you some sins. What happens if it said that? Where would you be? Where would I be? Nowhere. If he doesn't do it all, he drank the cup to the full, was buried to the full. Can't be more buried. Can't be more buried. And why? So that you could enjoy a wonderful relationship to God based on his person and work. According to the scriptures, he's the one. And you know why he did it, you know how he did it, and you want to be the beneficiary of all that he has done. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you that we can know and honor you, God, as we stumble along. So thank you very, very, very much for all that you do and doing. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. God, we could never grasp this, what you're doing. It's so awesome. And God, we stumble around with it. So help us. Spirit of God, help us understand. Dead is dead. Reckon yourself dead, you told us. Thank you very, 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 very much, so that we can enjoy newness of life. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.